Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, June the 5th, 157th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Lukewarm Macaulay.
It is. Yeah. Not even cool hand Luke. Yeah. It's just, room temperature hand Luke.
Well, that's still a plus for some.
There you go.
And stunning to others.
Yeah, most people think, he's lukewarm. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, the earlier show, obviously, you haven't voted yet, huh?
I didn't see you.
I got one of these silly stickers for you and for Arkley for tonight, so I could say, look. And then you're not even wearing yours.
Well, you know, I voted by mail.
Well, that's right. You're an absent guy.
Well, I don't think they call it absentee. They call it a vote by mail person. I'm not doing it because I'm going to be absent, because I'm indeed in
that's
here.
That's right, because they had Stefan that way.
Yeah.
I looked.
So.
Probably violated 3 federal rules or something by looking. He was right under my signature.
Let's see if the electioneering police show up.
Well, I did run into a couple of county elected officials there.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they're voting.
So you got a pile there? Is that tax stuff? Is that budget balancing stuff? Is that anything related to today's activities?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean, there's, you know.
We stumped him early. We'll see if we can stump him often also when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Macaulay, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Benjamin Disraeli. Quote, action may not always bring happiness, but there's no happiness without action.
There you go.
All right.
Well, let's get to the action.
Yeah. What kind of sense do you have looking at the differences, comparison, contrast, and theme with the political?
Okay.
Wisconsin, $3 billion out, balanced budget and fiscal year. California, $19 billion out, hoping.
Balanced budget in our lifetime.
Perhaps. Is it fair to try to compare the two states because of the sheer magnitude of the two?
Really difficult. I mean, you know, California, the scope and scale is obviously very, very different. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, you've seen some austerity movement in effect in Wisconsin, and in California, we can't spell austerity. And so what we, you know,
In this room, I'm not sure between the three of us we could come up with austerity of yourself, so that might not be fair.
So challenging, you know, for California because the problems are so much bigger, and the fact that we seem to have no willingness to you know, effectively face our problems.
Isn't that the curious thing? The lack of interest, the lack of desire. How could you not?
I think the real issue is wolf has been cried for a number of years. And we, the citizens of California, have gotten a little dulled to, you know, the cry of wolf, because we just have heard it before. And
out of whack were we 2 years ago? $15 billion?
Yeah.
Nothing closed down.
Right. And so now we're 19, you know. And probably on the way to something else, because the April collections, tax collections weren't, you know, were, I think, $2.4 billion below expectation. So
wishes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you know, $2.4 billion, I mean, you know, $1 billion, you know, we are.
Well, if it's $1 billion, that would be cool. If we were that close, I think everybody would consider that.
That's in a month. 2.4 short from budget in a month.
You forgot the time reference. So, well, even that's still, better than a third closer than what we're talking about.
Well, it's a real problem. And California's going to, you know, we can only hope that we'll deal with it in one way. And there are different ideas for solutions. And
have you seen any that you can stand behind and go, you know, this one seems to make a little sense?
Well, I think it's easier to find fault with what's out there than to really say one of them is really knocked my socks off. I do think we're going to see in the fall ballot measures for, and we may have 1, 2, 3 ballot measures dealing with increasing taxes and various and sundry tax-related issues that are at least from a discussion standpoint are pointed at dealing with some of our problems in California. So, you know, I know a little bit about what Governor Brown's proposal looks like. I know he's very interested in trying to derail the other potential alternatives from getting to the ballot because it will muddy the water in terms of his, you know, what he would like to present to the voters. So it's going to be a really, you know, here we are. We haven't even finished voting today, and we're already, you know, it's easy, very, very easy to look ahead to November and say, gee, there is some momentous potential things that could occur here in the state of California. And, you know,
in recognition of the need for monumentous activities and movements to occur in November also. It just is curious that maybe we're starting to become somewhat knowledgeable about economics and somewhat knowledgeable about finances.
Maybe. It's, you know, I go back to, I really think the wolf's been cried too much. I do think we are, the reality of our fiscal condition is been, you know, we haven't had to face it. So therefore, you know, it's hard to assume that it's going to be as bad as some people say.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to talk. It's really easy when it's live, know what the time is. We've had a couple of shows we've been taping because I'm not around all the time. 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. times I have to say the out time.
Yeah.
It just, still getting there, getting there.
Well, but look, we're live here on,
yeah,
on June 5th, Election Day, ish, primary day. Yeah. Pretty just exciting.
All the magic is
it
right is. Here.
Oh, it is. I'm sure everybody can feel it.
Yeah. I think we need to wake Aaron up so he can feel it.
Yeah. Aaron.
Is there anything going on at the state level, Bill, with either tax reform, tax relief, tax incentives? Lack of taxes, take your pick, that would keep business here, incentivize investment here in California, do anything at all, or are we kind of doing our own little bump along? And I'd even wondered, what is the state unemployment? And as we get, what is it now, 64 of the last 65 federal employment numbers have been readjusted down after they've been released.
There seems to be a pattern there. The number that gets the most attention,
sure,
which is the one they is adjusted down.
It was every time 115 went down to 70.
Yeah, and but what and about yet Kelf? And yet we the next time the number comes out, everybody goes, well, there's the number.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen California's numbers?
I've seen some numbers for California, but they're not necessarily directly comparable because they aren't based on some of the same statistics in terms of, you know.
The definition?
Pool. Yeah. So that it's a little more problematic. Unemployment in California is a significant problem. And, the Golden State isn't golden right now in terms of employment numbers. And we are when you ask about other things that are going on that are going to incentivize people to come here, there are some programs that I think are business friendly. There's enterprise zone programs that have been created by the state of California.
Right, but redevelopment agencies have been knocked out. So far as administrating the enterprise zones?
Well, certain enterprise zones are administered through the state via local agencies. So as an example, the city of Eureka is an enterprise zone. And that designation, I can't remember how long it runs through. Tyson would obviously have that off the top of his head. But it was renewed a number of years ago. And so what that does is it provides a number of tax incentives that some of them are a little underutilized because they're a bit esoteric. But the big ones are the hiring credits. And there are some sales tax credits for certain types of purchases. And so those are the two biggies that we see the most often for the enterprise zone.
So why not do that statewide?
Well, the state has, I don't remember, there's probably 18 or 20 enterprise zones that have been designated throughout the state in different areas. And so those particular areas get to utilize these benefit these tax provisions to try to incentivize business. And there are some, the hiring credits are relatively lucrative, but you've got there are criteria that have to be fit. And there was some discussion about curtailing the enterprise zone benefits because it was felt by some that it was, benefiting a limited number of folks. And I think that there's arguments on both sides for that one.
So rather than having all the governmental structure associated with that, why not just blanket it across the board? Every net employee you hire on an annual basis for the next 10 years, you get ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ho.
Sounds great. That's an Employment Act for accountants, because somebody's going to have to determine, is it a net gain of employment?
Well, and we can track that based on your year-end filings.
Yeah.
Okay, pretty simple. We've got the tracking from the individuals where they're working. They have computers that function.
Mm-hmm.
They have, relatively simple things like that seem so complicated.
Well, the other thing about it is that, when you look at California's tax rate structure, this as a state, we're, as we've discussed before, far too dependent on volatile revenue. And so to say, anytime we talk about changes in the mix of income tax payments, that needs to be part of the discussion too, is are we increasing or decreasing, the volatility of our revenue streams? Because the volatile revenue streams, we saw on the end of the 90s, we were running surpluses in California, and then what did we do with it? And, there was one school of thought, which is, why don't we return it to the people who paid it? And there's another school of thought, let's start some new programs. And I think we all know there was a little bit of money that came back, but for the most part, it was, we started new programs that it wasn't long before we couldn't afford all of them. And I'm not one who would sit here and say, I think we ought to cut back and not have any programs, or I think we ought to strategically determine which programs are in the best interest of Californians and then make sure that those programs get funded, and those that don't meet that criteria, like we would do in our household. If money's tight, well, maybe, maybe
filet becomes ground.
Exactly. Maybe food and heat are more important than cable television or whatever the case might be. You always have radio.
And thank
so,
you very much, yes.
The point being, we haven't gotten to the point where we're really facing up to making those kinds of hard decisions in the state of California.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Now, Minute of Sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:36. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with CPA Bill McCauley. We're not cutting into your golf this afternoon, are we?
No, we are not cutting into my golf this afternoon.
Okay. So Twilight's still available afterwards?
Worry not.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. My mind is so much clearer now. So what do you see out there today with the election results? What kind of sense do you have? Is anybody preaching financial accountability?
I wouldn't say austerity,
since I don't know how to spell it, but some kind of recognition that things have to change a little bit?
I think that's what Wisconsin's all about. And so it's going to be fascinating. I mean, obviously this whole discussion, you know, is going to be motivated by, you know, a lot. I mean, both sides in the battle are really, you know, are fighting over that one. And it's going to be it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. I'm not a political prognosticator.
No, but SEIU spent a ton of money.
Fundamentally, when you look at what's going on and what was done in Wisconsin, and you look at that, and if you were to take that and kind of extrapolate it across the country, you could have, that is a major systemic change that's occurred in Wisconsin in terms of curtailing the growth in costs and having government employees share in the cost of their benefits and things like that to a degree that they have not had to in the past, and much more akin to how it happens in the business world, and so whether or not that kind of change can stick is going to be interesting, because part of somewhere along the line we're going to have to decide that just because a program sounds good or might be a good idea or is a good idea doesn't mean we can necessarily afford it without making some other change. And so revenue doesn't the revenue side is problematic. It's not to say you can't raise revenue by raising taxes, but there's a finite amount of it, and it's very, very volatile. And so you're going to add to the volatility by trying to say, gee, we want to tax certain incomes at a higher level, which is Governor Brown's plan. He's got a sales tax increase that goes in place for, I think, 4 years and a 7-year income tax increase. Those kinds of things are going to be – all that's going to do is create – any additional revenue that's going to be derived from that is going to be highly volatile and is going to be problematic in down years.
Is there any ratio that you're aware of, either in the classroom or in the real world, that talks about the efficiencies of saving a dollar versus raising a dollar? I mean, you were talking about the governor's proposal of increasing dollars. Okay. Versus saving a dollar. You hear a lot of lip service. Oh, you got to do both. Yeah, but somehow it seems like the taxes are always going up, and the cost, the observable costs, aren't necessarily going down at the same rate.
Well, and you think, on a national basis, there's been a number of times where there have been agreements reached, in Congress such that, okay, one party will say, all right, we'll agree to have some revenue increases for cost cutting, but the cost cutting really frequently it hasn't come. It hasn't materialized. And so it's been an empty promise, but then you've got the revenue stream in place. And so so there are, you know, the question I think comes down to kind of a basic principle is can you, Brian, you know, spend your money better than the government? You know, is the do we need the government to, you know, be an arbiter of all things? And should we, you know, should the government decide who needs what resources and how to allocate those resources? And are they better able to do that than you are? I mean, historically, I think you would look back and see that in our society, the churches and other organizations stepped up and stepped the fore to take care of a number of our social ills. Over time, government has accepted those roles and taken many of those roles, and at least a leadership in those roles. And there's I think there's certainly an argument whether that's being done more efficiently or not. You know, we started a war on poverty in the 60s, and it's no better.
Somebody said, poverty won.
Yeah.
Because you don't see those changes.
So some of this stuff doesn't work. But the problem is, once you put it in place, it's very difficult to unwind the clock and say, we're going to try something different, a different solution, when you've now created a system that may maintain people in a level of poverty, but at least it maintains them. And so that's the problem, is the system doesn't work. It doesn't beat poverty. But it does provide a safety net, and that's the balancing act.
In the private sector, is there a ratio between dollars saved and revenue generated? There are different industries, certainly, but mm-hmm. there are costs associated with generating that dollar.
Well,
cutting a dollar or saving a dollar, those costs don't exist.
Exactly, and the advantage to that is, and I think we've all seen that in our businesses as we've operated throughout this down cycle that started for some businesses in 2006, some of them it was later. But we've seen this down cycle, and we've all had to manage our businesses accordingly. And you know, a dollar of cost that's cut, you don't have to keep raising that dollar. You don't have to go find a new way to bring that dollar. So that's, you know, it's a more permanent savings. Whereas if you say, we're just going to increase revenue, we're going to keep our costs as they are, that's problematic, because you're continuing to fight, you know, that challenge of where's that dollar going to come from. If you're a government, you say, hey, we're going to get that by fiat. We're going to tax it. We're going to garner it from our citizens, and we're going to use it. But then there's always the question, how's that money going to come in? And again, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, the volatility is such a problem in California that, some of our structural deficit occurred, a big chunk of it occurred basically in a couple of years. And, you know, we've been playing such silly games of, you know, accounting games and gimmicks of trying to, you know, if we really think our deficit is the number that the state of California is using, we are very, very misled.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, as you look at any of the different activities that are going on out there, is anybody really wrestling with the deficit? Is anybody really wrestling with the debt?
From a federal perspective, no.
States?
I think the only thing we're doing from a federal perspective is figuring out how to pay it forward. You know, just you know, kick the can, move it on down the road, and go, okay. Some of the states, I think, are trying to deal with their problems. Some of them don't have as big.
Who's doing the best?
Well, I think you can go. I mean, depends how you measure best. What's your definition of success?
The McCauley standard.
The Macaulay standard is going to be to live within your means. And, you know, I mean, if
so
I was
doing
able,
that best.
Well, I think that I mean, I don't know from state to state who's doing exactly what. So I don't follow it that closely. But I will tell you that in my mind, some prudent steps have been taken in Wisconsin, you know, and maybe we need to be taking those kinds of steps and trying to get some controls on what our costs are. Now, this is just an accountant looking at the world, which I have my own fiscal bias. But it seems to me we ought to get our house in order before we start spending more. You know, the idea,
you know,
so many of our states have this idea that, oh, well, my biggest problem is I just need to increase the limit on my credit card. That doesn't solve the problem.
Go to the bank of the federal.
I just need a bigger loan, and we'll you know, somebody, and the problem, I think the heartbreak of the whole thing to me is, from a federal perspective, we have pushed this off onto our kids and our grandkids, and I think that's abhorrent. And I think anybody, and we all have a piece of that, because we're anybody who's voting, and anybody who is, you know, who is involved with the government in one form or another, and I mean people who are receiving benefits, people who pay into the government, we all have a responsibility to have this be fundamentally fair, and it's unfair to future generations, and I think that's really a shame.
Well, I had a dandy question, but I'm not sure you can handle it in 45.
Probably can't handle it in...
Oregon has such a huge dependency on the federal for the in lieu of timber tax. Can states that are naturally resource-based ever really have solid financial footing?
It's a real challenge, very, very difficult challenge. And so, you know, it's not unlike California with its structure. You have to look at your revenue structures and say, you know, it's like you in this business. If all your revenue was due to one source and it dries up, that's a problem.
No, there'll be criminal activity associated with it. Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense that way. Huh. But obviously the public sector doesn't see quite the same concerns as we do.
You know,
or they're not motivated enough to do something about
sure,
it.
Sure, but that's in their interest. We just have to balance the interests. But, you know, you expect people to act in their interest.
Like ours. It's time to get out of here.
There you go.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow.